Congressman Trey Gowdy. I got to ask you, Trey, you know, when you were down here in South Carolina as a prosecutor dealing with the scummy part of life, did you ever think you'd be on the national stage dealing with the scummy part of life?
I never ever thought I would be in Congress when I was a district attorney, and it is there is no comparison between the kind of investigations that law enforcement and prosecutors run and the kind of investigations that folks in Congress run. So I'm really happy that I was a prosecutor. It will always be the best job I've ever had, but it's a very different world back in South Carolina than it is up here.
What do you mean by the way they run investigations up there in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I mean, the sheriff has never interviewed anybody in public. And when I was a district attorney, we never interviewed witnesses in public. It's all done privately. In fact, it's done in large part through a grand jury that that you know nothing about. And you have to have the documents, and you have to have the witnesses, and everything in Washington is politicized. And back home, they reward you for being fair and trying to be fair. There is no constituency for fairness in this town. It is all about winning, and it not only does it take a while to get used to, and I'm not sure I ever want to get used to it.
I don't blame you, Trey. I think what you have been through, just through the slips of the tongue that people have had up there, I just had to have undermined it and had to have really got down to your core there.
Well, what you try to get people to do is focus on what you have done as opposed to what other people have said. And usually in life, if I were to say that you kept a really messy yard, you would say, well, Trey, you don't even know where I live. Why don't you come by my house and see how my yard is kept? We judge people based on actions in life.
Correct.
You would never, ever, nobody would ever rely on me talking about something I knew nothing about. But in politics, and in the interest of full disclosure, I mean, Kevin McCarthy is a friend of mine. But that doesn't mean he has any idea what we've been doing since last May. I mean, frankly, Kevin couldn't name three witnesses out of 54 that we've interviewed. So why would anybody pay attention to what someone said when they have no idea what the committee has done? But in Washington, all it takes is one comment.
Right.
And it undermines what the women and men on my committee have done for the past 18 months.
And it certainly seemed to have brought to the fore the wedge, shall we say, between the Democratic side of the committee and the Republican side of the committee.
Well, and that has existed from day one. As you remember, they voted not to form the committee. They threatened not to participate in the committee. And there's not a single witness that they have wanted to interview, and there's not a single set of documents that they have helped us get. And that's not politics, those are facts.
Yeah.
So you would ask yourself, okay, let's assume Ann is in charge of writing the final definitive report on what happened in Benghazi. Would you want the emails from the ambassador? Would you want to read them? Well, the Democrats didn't want to. Would you want the Secretary of State's emails so you could know what was being discussed and security requests? Of course you would.
Exactly.
Every one of your listeners would say, I want the most amount of information I can get so I can do the best job. Up here, they don't want to talk to any witnesses. They don't want to talk. They don't want to access any documents. And for whatever reason, the mainstream media gives them a pass. That no one has ever asked Elijah Cummings, Mr. Cummings, why don't you want to talk to eyewitnesses? That question has never been asked of him.
You're right. Anything I've heard, I've never heard that being asked, Trey.
And you won't. And you won't hear it asked because I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
Right.
I'm not. I really try hard not to blame the media because there are certain folks in the media that I think try to do a good job and be fair. They may have their own biases, but they try to be fair. But the narrative of Secretary Clinton was written weeks, if not months, before she ever came.
Yeah. So So how did you find the whole Clinton 10 hours, whatever it was, that y'all spent together that day?
Well, you know, Ann, I mean, the mistake I make is you never go into court and want to be surprised by what a witness says.
Right.
So when they ask you at the end, what did you learn, if you're a good prosecutor, the answer is nothing, because I knew it before we ever started.
Right.
The purpose of a hearing is to share information you have already learned, not to learn new information.
Correct.
If we were trying to find out new information from Secretary Clinton, number one, we would have every document we're entitled to, and it would have been a private interview where we had far more than 10 minutes per lane of questioning. Having said that, I can tell you that she says she takes responsibility for Benghazi, but I can't tell you what she takes responsibility for. I can tell you that what she was saying publicly was very different from what she was telling people privately. And I can tell you that even today, if there were an ambassador in a dangerous country that needed more security, I cannot tell you to this day whether that request would ever make the desk of our Secretary of State. So all of that needs to change. The government does not need to have one version for foreign leaders in Libya and Egypt and a different version for the American people.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. Have we ever found out, because she keeps saying that that it went to the State Department, not her, all this information. Do we know, or do you know, who this information went to, since it didn't go to her?
We do, and we have probably 24 more interviews left. And some of those 24 are the, you know, she keeps saying security experts, that she had security experts that were responsible for this. We need a name. Security expert doesn't help me a lot. I need
right.
a name. We have the names. And as soon as the State Department gives us the documents that we need, and when I say documents, memories fade, Ann, and it's been 3 years.
Right.
I need the emails from September the 12th. I need the emails from September the 9th, 2 days before the attacks. Those documents don't change. So when the State Department gives us the documents that we've been waiting on, in some instances for well over a year, then we're going to interview the her so-called security experts, and we're going to be able to tell our fellow citizens who the request went to, why it was denied. But the broader question moving forward is, I can cite you lots of different clauses and phrases and manuals that put that responsibility directly on the shoulders of the Secretary of State. If the Secretary of State is not going to be responsible for security, then we need to change those manuals. We don't need to create this facade where he or she is responsible for security, but when something bad happens, they're really not responsible for it. I can just tell you today, if you were the ambassador in a war-torn country and you were sending requests for more security and more personnel, I can't guarantee you today that that request would ever make it to the Secretary of State.
Wow. Well, do you think you're going to get these emails, Trey? Because you've been working hard to get all this information, and it's been slow.
It's been slow. We've made a ton more progress than any of the other previous committees have, I mean, to the tune of like 50,000 documents.
Right.
But in this, again, to highlight the difference between a real investigation that your sheriff or the FBI in South Carolina would do and our investigation, all of the documents are kept by the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to give us what they want to give us, and I will never know what they didn't give us. I mean, we know for a fact that she didn't turn over 15 emails to the State Department. I mean, we know that for a fact. It's undisputed.
Right.
But you don't often hear her ask about, well, these are 15 we know you didn't turn over. Are there more? She'll come up with a statistic that says I turned over 90% of my, you know, the State Department already had 90% of my emails. There's no basis in fact for that statement. None.
Then why does she get to slide on this, Trey?
Well, you'll have to ask the people that interview her on the Sunday morning talk shows, and you'll have to ask the New York Times and the Washington Post. I did ask her about it. I said, what is your source for that statistic? She said, the State Department. And I said, Madam Secretary, that's funny. I asked them last week, and they have no idea where that statistic comes from. And her response was, I'll get back to you.
It has to be, you know, I know when you started down this road, you didn't think that it would, did you think it was going to be so twisty and turny and you'd never get the information?
I probably underestimated how little power Congress has to actually, and it's sad to say that because we're a co-equal branch of government. But these investigations are only as good as the evidence and access to witnesses that you have. I can't cite a newspaper article in a final report. I mean, that you could never use that in a court of law. You have to have documents and you have to have witnesses. And I think what I probably underestimated, I just imagined that the media would be upset with any government agency that was withholding documents. I just imagined that they would. And the reality is the media will spend more time criticizing Republicans for being partisan than they will the administration for not turning over documents.
So are you still thinking at the end of the year that you'll be able to wind this up, or are you, after this, not sure?
Well, we started, actually, the morning after her appearance. She's one out of what will ultimately be close to 75 witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's important, but she's one out of 75, and all 75 are important.
Cool.
We have 24 more witness interviews that are, some of them have already been set. All of them will be set. My goal continues to be to finish by the end of the year, and the things that I have control over, like the scheduling of witnesses, I can get done by the end of the year. The things that I do not have control over, such as when the White House, the Department of Defense, the CIA, and the State Department give me the documents that I'm entitled to, I don't have control over whether they are going to do it in a timely fashion or whether they're going to do it at all. And if they don't do it at all, then I have to go to court to get a judge to order it, and our great-grandkids will be discussing it, because that will take forever.
How long will the committee continue then until you get all this information, Trey?
I think at some point, and you have to level with the people, and you have to say, this is what we learned. These are the new people we found. These are the new documents we found. We're going to write the report, and we have found new information in all areas of Libya and Benghazi. But I also have to level with the people that I can't answer the following questions because the following agencies never gave me the documents. So I will never be able to put my hand on a stack of Bibles and tell the people in South Carolina that we got every single solitary thing that we were entitled to. What I can tell them is we did the very best we could with what we were given, and these are the things we asked for that we never got. And human nature being what it is, Ann, you usually do not fail to turn over things that are good for you. You fail to turn over things that would not be good for you. And I think people are smart enough to connect the dots.
Do we have any idea when President Obama was involved in this whole? Have you been able to narrow that down, what time he knew when things were going bad?
A little bit, and... several of the witnesses we have left to do are White House witnesses and Department of Defense witnesses. And that kind of that middle tranche, what was happening during the attacks, particularly after the first attack and before the second attack, the bulk of the witnesses that we have left to do between now and the end of the year are in that realm.
Okay.
But I can tell you this, the president very much enjoys citing executive privilege. And this new doctrine that he has come up with, which is confidential deliberations. And if the White House decides they're not going to give Congress documents, then our choice is to go to the floor of the House and hold an agency in contempt of Congress, which then goes to the executive branch for them to enforce. Well, guess who controls the executive branch? He does. So anyone who wonders whether or not 2016 is important or it matters who the president is or who the attorney general is, you need to look no further than investigations. Because if the executive branch decides not to cooperate, the other two branches don't have. I mean, look at the judges that are handling the FOIA request for the State Department. I mean, it's not just us that are having trouble getting documents. I mean, her non-Benghazi-related emails are being released, what, at the end of every month?
Yes.
And those have nothing to do with Benghazi and Libya, but your listeners are entitled to those documents. Those are public records. And they're being released 2 years after she left office. I mean, again, I'm not a conspiracist, but if you or I did that, we'd be in a lot of trouble, Ann.
Absolutely. Trey, just out of curiosity, do you think if there was a, is it President Obama, is it the Democrats, could it, if it had been a Republican or an independent in the White House, would we be having the same trouble, do you honestly believe?
They'd be having trouble, maybe not to this degree, but there has always been tension between the branches. Some of the cases that I cite and rely on were subpoenas sent to Bush officials when the Democrats controlled Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they were on the phone with us, they would say, look, you know, we've had trouble getting information, too. My point is this shouldn't be a political matter. I mean, the House of Representatives are put there by the people we work for, and they have an expectation that we're going to provide oversight, and they don't care whether it's your team or somebody else's team. So I would like to think, I don't know that I'll live long enough to see a Republican president, but if I do, I can tell you when I was a DA, if I had a police officer that was accused of misconduct, I investigated that police officer just exactly the same way I did a non-police officer, even though I love cops and I work with them. I want the facts, and I don't really care what color jersey you have on. I want the facts. And in this town, it is much more about winning than it is about getting the facts.
You have another term of Congress coming up next year.
We do. We have another year, and what we were up really, really late last night, and which is a good sign because it means that the process has been opened up. Congressman Mulvaney, I think, had 7 amendments on a transportation bill last night, and that's the way democracy works. It's slow, it's tedious, it's sometimes painful to watch, but that's what Paul Ryan committed to, which is an open process where if you have an amendment, if you think you can make a bill better, you're entitled to a vote on it, and it's gonna mean that we spend a lot more time around each other. And we drink a lot more coffee at night, having late night votes. But that's the way democracy's supposed to work.
And are you going to sign on again, Trey, for another term?
I'm inclined to, Ann. You know, the filing is in March,
right.
And I don't like leaving unfinished business. And when I say unfinished business, you know, I think Secretary Clinton flatters herself sometimes that she would be worth 18 months of any of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
She's not. But the memory and the family members of the 4 men who lost their lives are. And if it's the last thing I do, I want to be able to look Ty Wood's widow and the family members of the other 4 in the eyes and say that we did the best we could, and here is a finished product that you can be proud of that is not political. And I'm committed to do that. If the people in the upstate will let me finish that job, I'm committed to finishing that job. I think it will probably require me driving down to Columbia with Tim Scott in March and filing again.
Well, alrighty. That's good. That's
unless you want the job, in which case I'll come back to South Carolina.
I would love for you to stay up there, but I can see how weary it must be.
It's a very different world, and which is why I will be on the very first thing that burns fossil fuel out of Washington today, back home in South Carolina. And Tim and I are going to Columbia in the morning, and then Tim and I are going to Rock Hill to do some things tomorrow night, and I'll get my daughter just told me she's coming home from college, and I think Paul Ryan said it very best. He lives in Wisconsin. He just works in Washington.
Yes.
I live in South Carolina. That's where my home is.
Absolutely. You know, I got one more question I want to ask you, and then I'll let you go. It sure is great to be able to talk to you, Trey. You don't know how much this means to me and to our listeners here on WCRS.
I love it. I miss talking to you.
But my last question is, the thing that actually kind of frightens me is President Obama is talking about an executive order to close Gitmo.
He is, and that's why he vetoed the defense authorization bill. And that's why we are all working really, really hard to override that veto. And our own Senator Tim Scott is one of the leading voices, along with others, to make sure that the Gitmo prisoners never see American soil. And I think we're going to be able to hold the president off. But I don't know. I don't know what Bernie Sanders or Secretary Clinton's perspective is on Gitmo. And these decisions that get made by the executive branch should make every one of us all the more interested in what happens in 2016. Because who the president is impacts our lives in a variety of ways.
Absolutely.
Tim Scott has done yeoman's work on this. So has a guy named Tommy Cotton from Arkansas. I think we're going to override the president's veto of the NDAA. It's one of the few vetoes he's ever issued. I'm shocked that it deals with the defense authorization bill, but he's more interested in keeping a campaign promise than he is doing what I think is the right thing in terms of handling terrorists.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just can't. When I heard that yesterday, I was like, wow. And, you know, everybody I talked to says, well, he said he's going to do it, that he's going to close Gitmo. That was one of his campaign promises.
Well, he said it before, and it hadn't happened yet. And if the Senate and the House can decide to grow a backbone between now and the time that decision's made, he won't do it this time either.
Congressman Trey Gowdy, thanks so much for calling us here today. It's been too long. Thanks so much.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you. I look forward to talking to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.